Well, if you see from your order of worship, we still have a sermon to happen today, but I promise you that it will not be like one you've ever heard me preach. I know because we're going to have to. Donna spoke about in her kingdom assignment, either be the church or take the sign down. We are going to have to take the sign down today because Highland Hills Church of Christ is not going to work any longer. We've already almost gone 2 hours. The Holy Spirit is just alive and moving. And we're going to have to be like the New Life Pentecostal Methodist. I don't know what we're going to call it after today, but people are going to drive by and think, man, that there's a carbon monoxide poisoning or something in here because everybody's cars are still there. I tell you what, since we've been here for like half the day, stand up with me. Let's have a prayer and a stretch of legs because I'm still going to preach. Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the tears that have been shed on this stage. Thank you for the hearts that have been broken. Thank you for the lives that have been mended. And thank you for just the transformation that takes place. God, I thank you personally and selfishly for the privilege of being associated with your church, and more importantly and more specifically, the privilege of being associated with this congregation and with these people, God, and I thank you for allowing me to be part of them. God, as we conclude this morning, I pray that you would forgive us for the busyness that's causing us to want to hurry up and be done. Forgive us for the clutter of our lives that make extended worship services a nuisance. Lord, forgive us for not basking in times like this, and God, forgive us for not making every day just like this one here. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move, that your Holy Spirit would continue to breathe upon us, and that our flesh would not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. In Christ's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I hope that was enough time to stretch your legs. One of the things I did want to comment on real quickly, and I just want to go very quickly through the order of worship here on the back of in sermon notes, because we are going to go into Kingdom Assignment Part 2 this morning briefly. Bob was saying that he took his $100 and bought golf balls. And what you don't know is that that's what he needs for every round of 18 holes that he plays. I'm just kidding. It's really 9 holes. And, one of the things that that Mark said that really touched me is I sat back there and thought about how to rapidly preach the sermon. Is that, he's right. As he hands out those gift certificates or the money or whatever, it is a big scam. But you know who else is a scam? I am. I scam God every day because I take such advantage of the love that he gives and the mercy and the compassion. I abuse his grace on a minute-by-minute basis. I'm undeserving. I'm unworthy. I plan on certain things that I know he's going to forgive me of. We all stand there with a cardboard sign saying, need grace. And we abuse that. I appreciate the heart that says, you know what, we're going to get taken advantage of. And I welcome that. Because that is when God works at his best. When his compassion is just being poured out, regardless of whether or not it's deserved, because most of the time, for me, it is so ridiculously undeserved. And I'm so glad that he is not like the grace cop saying, you don't get any more. Because I'm a big grace scam artist with a cardboard sign. The Spirit of God is moving throughout the Highland Hills Church of Christ. One of the main reasons that children who grow up in the church do not stay in the church is because of the lack of transformation that they see in their own families. That's a fact. It isn't because we don't teach them enough Bible verses. It's not because they don't learn enough. It's not because we don't require them to memorize. It's not because we don't sing. It's not because we don't do. The reason that children do not stay in church is because there's a lack of transformation in their own families. Today, we had an example of two fathers whose children see them crying over people that they don't even know. Lance, have you ever met Donna's brother? Never met him at all. But, you know, Mark is transformed and is broken in front of his children, and they see God is real because of that. That's what this is about. Because you know what? It's so easy for us all to look like everyone else. It's so easy. We're going to look like everyone else, especially today, because we're going to be in line at lunch. Typically, we beat everybody to Ruby Tuesdays and everywhere else because we get out so early. But we're going to be just like the Baptists and the Garden Variety Gentiles because we're going to be standing in line. But I'll tell you this. If we will let Him, God will break our hearts and He will transform us and He will grow His kingdom. He will grow it here with children who see parents that are not just going to church, but in love with God and transformed forever. And when that happens, then things start taking place outside of these walls, and kids get lunches and strangers get food and sick people get ministered to. Those who are unchurched have the veil of confusion about what's going on lifted by a simple handout. So now what? Now that this 90 days is over, now what are we going to do? And we just, the next thing is to move on, to keep on going, to move on with our kingdom assignment part two. And that's one of the things that I want to briefly talk about. You see, the next 90 days, it's going to get personal. Because starting today, we're going to start a new kingdom assignment, and it's going to get personal. If you thought it was personal before, it's going to get real personal for the next 90 days. You see, kingdom assignments are for everyone. That's what we learned last time. When God gave to His servants, when the master gave to His servants, one He gave one talent, and the two and the five and all that, you know, that was for all of His servants. You know, He didn't mention that there were other servants that got nothing. So we do know that kingdom assignments are for everyone. But this kingdom assignment is for me. Not for Shane. Everyone write that down in the second one. This kingdom assignment is for me. Nobody gets a pass on this one. You see, last time we asked people without telling them what was going on with all this, you know, the sneaky. I love doing that. I like, you know, being all elusive and, you know, and no one knew, you know, what really was going on. And so we came forward. We asked for volunteers. And I love what Fred was saying is that, you know, I'd never volunteer, always get drafted. Today we're drafted because we're not asking for volunteers. This kingdom assignment is for everyone. And this kingdom assignment is all about transforming. It's all about transforming lives. That's the whole point. Kingdom assignments are not just to feel religified, not just to feel like we're doing something and man, we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's not for all. It's honestly for transforming our lives. That's what we are here to do, is to have our lives changed forever. And in the process, you know, and in the byproduct of that is changing lives outside of here. That's what it's about. So kingdom assignments, don't think about it as the assignment itself. Don't think about, you know, it's got to be good enough. It's got to be transforming enough. That's what it's supposed to do, is to transform us into His likeness. Isn't that what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 when it says, be ye imitators, that we're supposed to look like and imitate God and be transformed into His likeness. That's what these are about. Kingdom assignments are about transforming lives. We heard Everett read out of Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read it again. He's talking about Christians and those in the first century who were baptized and transformed and who became the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And you know what? That doesn't happen today, does it? All those miraculous signs and the wonders, that doesn't go on. That died with the apostolic age. We've been sold a lie if we believe that. Wonders, miracles, the awe of God exists right now in 2009. If we will let Him transform our lives. Do you think a mother went to school to pay a bill and saw a miracle? Because a heart of flesh that is all about a selfish person, a human being who all they are about is taking care of number one, because that person bought their child lunch and paid their bill and got nothing out of it for himself. That is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a wonder of nature. That doesn't happen in nature. That only happens in the supernatural. See, if we will let God transform us, people will see wonders and they will see miracles. They will see people go, you know, walking on water and all of the feeding 5,000 and healing leprosy will pale in comparison to the miracles that will happen today if God can transform our hearts. Because we will walk across a crowded room and share the gospel with a stranger. We will feed 5 million. We will heal the hearts of so many people that are broken in this community. That's a miracle. It's about transforming lives. And see, he goes on and says, all the believers had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. And we key on that part of that verse about God adds to the number, and they were being saved, and we make this about baptism, and that. You know what this verse is about? It's about transformed lives, transforming lives. You see, if we looked like this, if we looked like verse 42 through 46, then verse 47 would happen. God would add to the numbers daily. That's what kingdom assignments are all about. Allowing God to add to our numbers. So the next kingdom assignment, you're going to need to pray about this. You're going to need to pray very hard. You're going to need to meditate about this. You're going to need to fast about this. And you're going to need to study about this kingdom assignment. All of the, and I know I only gave you one thing, but you can put a check in there. Pray about it. Meditate about it. Fast about this. Study about this kingdom assignment that's coming up over the next 90 days. All of the disciplines, all of the experiences of God are all wrapped up in transforming our lives and becoming the outworking of our spirituality. Because see what we're asking for. I really got to learn how to work this better. What we're asking for is to make a sacrifice. For the next 90 days, what we're going to do is we're all going to go home. We're going to look around our houses. We're going to find things that we use, things that we need, things that we don't need, things that we've accumulated. We're going to pray about God allowing us to release our grip on stuff. And we're going to pick some stuff at our house. We're going to pick some stuff at our homes, and we're going to get rid of them. We're going to sell them. We're going to bring the money, and just like it says in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, they laid the money at the apostles' feet. So it goes about making a sacrifice, and then it goes along with number three, is submit to spiritual leadership. You see, so much of, you know, our tax dollar, that's taxpayers' money at work. No, it's the government's money. I've already made that point when we talked about when we were talking about giving. You know, it's once you pay your tax, that's the government's money. They can do with it what you want. If you don't like what the government's doing, then change the government. That's fine. You know, the money that we contribute, it was never ours when we gave it. It's not ours when it's in there. And we can't go to the elders and say, I don't like the way you're spending my money, because it wasn't ours and it isn't ours and it's never ours. So it's not, I'm doing this and I want this to go to this ministry, or here's this money and I want this to happen. And this is, it is, lay it at their feet. And so, because there's a couple of things going on here. There's sacrifice and there's submission. So here it is. I'm trying to be, you know, I've got a ton of notes and I'm trying to, you know, distill it down. This is what we're doing. For the next 90 days, pray about this. Think about it. Go home and look around the house. What do you have that you really, really use a lot that you could sacrifice? What do you have that you never, you know what, I own this, I never use it, I'm going to sacrifice this. You know, what do you have that you know, whatever, what is of value to us that we can sell, that we can give, that we can do something and bring those proceeds and lay it at the elder's feet, lay it at the foot of the cross and say, here it is, do with it what you want, invest it, whatever. And that's going to challenge our shepherds to say, hey, let's use this money, this sacrifice, in a God-glorifying way. Once we give it, we don't have the right to question it, because we really don't. It's up to, so there's an exercise in submitting to spiritual leadership. But the important thing is to find whatever we can to sacrifice and to sell, to have everything in common, and to bring that and to give it to the glory of God. Some of that, it might be easy. Some of us have already thought, "Ooh, I know I could do this. I could," you know. And there's a kingdom assignment that's going to take place later on in this summer. It's an auction, and maybe if we have a hard time selling, if a garage sale doesn't work or whatever, you have a hard time getting rid of the whatever junk it is that we're trying to sell, then we can put it in that auction and sell it then. And kind of have cross pollination of kingdom assignments for the next 90 days. In 90 days, we're going to have a special contribution. Not the normal right after the communion, but a kingdom assignment contribution. Here is the money for the I sold. Whether it's a piece of land, whether it's a lawnmower, whatever it is, whether it's a tennis racket or golf clubs, I don't know. Now I just got to meddling, didn't I? That wasn't nice. Here's my contribution. This is what I give. This is my 10% that I tithe every week. And that's normal. But here's my sacrifice. And we're going to have that in 90 days. These kingdom assignments are all about transforming us into the likeness, the image and likeness of God. So as you pray about this, appreciate the gift of prayer. As you fast, appreciate the discipline of fasting. As you study and as you meditate, appreciate the transforming fact, the factors that go into this, but also allow God to just strip away so much of this place so that He can be glorified in our sacrifice and in our giving. I'm going to have an invitation, and then we're going to sing, and then Earl, are you going to come up after the song? This morning, the invitation is simply this. Allow God to change you. How many times have you had an opportunity to be a part of something that's not a job, that's not it's not a civic organ, you know, it's not, how many times have you had the opportunity to be a part of something that consumes your thoughts, that defines you as a person, that has the potential to make you into something other than what you were, like you have with these past kingdom assignments? Now, for some people, it's really been a consuming event in their life. For others, maybe not so much. But we have another chance for the next 90 days to be a part of something that can really, really change us and in turn change the world. The invitation is to let God change you as together we stand and as we sing.